Have a good day, Woch. We will move on with our subject of Pesach, Be'ezras Hashem. I guess we'll be in touch throughout the week to see if we have a shiur next week. Okay. I want to start from a little passage in the Haggadah, which its significance might be lost on us if we're not clued in. I'm talking about the part of the Haggadah which talks about the four sons. What's the big deal about that? What's the big deal about the four sons? Especially since it starts with this excited declaration. Baruch Hamokon, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemoson Torah L'Amo Yisrael, Baruch Hu, Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah. A very excited expression of blessing to Hashem. And that's how we preface, look, the Torah addressed four sons. What's going on? What's the idea? What's the significance of the four sons? So, as we tend to try to do, we want to just really focus on the significance of the plain meaning without getting into fancy pshatim, the depth of the plain meaning. And here, we may say that it's so simple that when we're actually hit by the simple meaning of it, it's actually a very, very profound aspect of what we're trying to do on Pesach. So when we talk about Pesach, we've already discussed plenty that the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is mainly teaching us two fundamental lessons. First of all, who Hashem is, and number two, what we mean to Him. Those are the two major lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we've discussed that plenty in the past. But the truth is that with the piece of the four sons, we're taking it a step further. And it's not just about what did the Jewish people mean to Hashem, but here we're already getting to a level of what do you personally, or to put it differently, what does each specific individual mean to Hashem? And this is where the issue of the four sons comes in. What is essentially being stated here? What's being stated here is that Hashem is coming with a statement of every last member of Klal Yisrael is critical to me. I didn't just do this for a nation as a whole because I wanted to have a nation. I did this because my relationship with you specifically is very precious to me, to the extent that I would have actually done this whole process just for you. And this is brought out in the piece of the Arba Banim as follows. The Torah, you probably all know that the Torah is pretty sparse with its words. The Torah is short. We have whole expansive areas of halacha that are based on a couple of words in the Torah. The Torah is very concise with its wording, and it leaves it to Teresh Shebal Peh to then go and expand it. And it's ad kedei kach that whenever there is an extra word in the Torah, right, the Chachamim are trying to figure out what is the Torah trying to connote there. And here, the point that we're bringing out is that when the Torah says, I want you to convey the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim to your children so that the relationship can be passed on to that, the Torah could have sufficed with a very terse single message. V'igavta, tell your child that this is what happened, and therefore you have to serve me. But no, the Torah comes from four different angles. For this son, I want you to word it like this. For that son, I want you to word it like that. For that son, like that. For that son, like that. Illustrating that Hashem is saying, I want every last child. And let's elaborate on that a bit more. This is a sefer. There's a chosh of a sefer called Menucha Kedusha, which was a disciple of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who he brings this out. And the beauty of it is that it's the profundity of the simple pshat. When you look at it, you see, yeah, that's actually what's going on here. There isn't a novel interpretation here happening. But he says as follows: the Torah is coming and stressing, here's how I want you to say it to the wise son. Here's how I want you to say it to the Rasha. Here's how I want you to say it to the Tam, meaning the simple-minded son. And here's how you say it to the Ein Yodea Lishaal, which for our purposes right now we'll call the one with certain impediments. And the Menucha Kedusha expands on it as follows. He says, when we're talking to the wise son, the Torah is giving a message. You might say, well, the wise son, okay, he's on a good track. I don't have to worry about him. I don't have to worry about him. He's on a good track. Let me shift my focus over to the other ones who need more help. The Torah is saying, no, I want you to invest a lot of energies. If you see a boy who is moving forward and who's showing promise, invest that much more energies in him. Double your energies in him, because don't just make do with what he'll get on his own. You can get him that much further by investing that much more energies in him. So the fact that he's dafka showing promise, that's a reason to put in that much more energy. Okay, then we move over to the Rasha. Now here is an important point to stress, because when you just look at the wording with the Rasha, it almost seems like the idea is we kick him out, we want to get rid of him. But that's not what's actually being stated. The Torah is telling you, here's how I want you to give it over to him. In other words, the Torah is not saying, oh, forget about him. The Torah is saying, no, I have a way that I want you to give it over to him too. In other words,
Haggadah, not the Torah.
well, the Haggadah is bringing out that the Torah expressed itself in four different places with four different terminologies of how to give it over. So what the Haggadah is coming and doing is, the Haggadah is just coming and identifying for you. The Torah said, basically, if you just look at the Torah said, give it over with formula A. And then somewhere else in the Torah it says, give over formula B. Right? So Haggadah is saying, well, A is intended for the Chacham, B is intended for the Rasha, right? It's four different instances in the Torah where it's laid out, each time in a different way. So what the Torah is coming and saying is, here you have the child that we're calling the Rasha, the bad son. So you might say, all right, forget about him. You know, I have the good sons, let me focus on them. Torah is saying, no, stop short. I want that bad son, the so-called bad son. I want him too. And I have the way that I want you to give it over to him. We have to appreciate that even though it's a strong, we'd even say a harsh message that is being given to the Russia, it is not a message of rejection. It's a message of admonition. But it's not a message of rejection. We're giving across a strong message. But the statement on Hashem's part is, don't say, I have boys who are willing to, I have boys who are behaving. Boys, let me put the efforts into them. He's headed in the wrong direction anyways. Forget about him. They're saying, no, he's very precious to me. I want him too. Hit him in his way. Okay. So the Torah is saying, you have the wise son, the promising son. I want special efforts put into him. You have the wicked son who looks like he's just in the wrong direction. I want special efforts put into him. And then we have the simple son. This is very straightforward. This is the classic kid who we want to educate. Right? So here, even more, we would say the Torah doesn't need to tell us I want him, because this is the classic kid that you can be educating. This is who school is for. Right? You have the prodigy who doesn't really need school, you might think. You have the wicked son who's leaving, right, on his way out of it. And here you have the kid, the classic classroom kid. Why does the Torah have to talk about him? But here the Torah is coming with another message and saying, oh, I know that you would naturally consider him the classic student, but I'm putting a special stress on him too, because I don't want to just leave him as the classic student. I want to make sure that he gets special attentions. I don't want you have a promising son. Ooh, he's going to become something very great. Let me put special efforts into him after the Torah directed me there. Ooh, this kid needs special kiruv. He's a challenging kid. Let me put special efforts there. This kid is a classic student. No, I want special efforts in the classic kid too. And then you have the Ein Yodea Lishaal. The Ein Yodea Lishaal classically is either understood as the child who's not yet reached the age of being able to understand, right, or fully understand, or the inhibited child, the mentally handicapped child. It's a child who doesn't even have, isn't even holding by saying what's going on when he sees unusual things going on around him. Right? He just walks in, everything looks different, and he just sits down with a deadpan face. So it's either very young or it's a kid with handicaps.
A kid that just doesn't know it. Like, Ralph grew up in a reform household, let's say, or even were, assimilated household.
We would probably call that the Tom,
Uh-huh.
meaning the kid who just comes and says, what's going on? Right? So here, the Haggadah is coming and saying another profound point, and that is, let's say a person has a child who's mentally handicapped and says, listen, I'm going to put hours and hours in trying to hammer something into his mind. At the end, I might come out with the very basic that he kind of, after months of effort, he'll understand that Paru was a bad guy and Hashem took us out, and he'll memorize two of the 10 Makas. So you want me to be putting in months of effort for that? Let me put the efforts into the kids who can really get the story. But here too, the Torah is coming and saying, no, I want those efforts. Yes, I want the kid who is only the dimwit, who is only going to be able to get a little piece of the picture. That's very important to me too. That's very precious to me. And I'll bring this out from another angle, and that is the there was the Vilna Gaon, one of the greatest intellects that in centuries, right? Brilliant mind, unbelievable intellectual capacity. And all the greats of his generation were like intimidated by him. And there was the famous Dubna Magid. One of his contemporaries was called the Dubna Magid. This was a, he used to go from town to town. He was inspiring the masses, admonishing, etc. And he was very, he had a very great influence on the masses. And the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, one time summoned him to him and said to him, listen, I need you to inspire me too. Give me some good Musa. The Dubna Magid was like, I feel like a mouse standing in front of Mount Everest. Like, what am I supposed to say to you? He didn't want to approach, didn't want to touch it. But the Vilna Gaon wouldn't let up, and he kept on calling him back and nudging and this and that. I want you to give me Musa. So finally, the Dubna Magid, who was known for his wit, he said to the Goyim as follows. You have to follow this. He said, you know what? You're right. I do have what to tell you. He said, initially, I thought that what can I possibly tell you? There's such a vast difference between us. But then he said, it occurred to me that not really such a difference. He said, why? This was classic Dubna Magid wit. He said, there's not so much of a difference between us. Everything that I know, you know also. So in that realm, we're the same. Everything that you don't know, I also don't know. So we're the same in that too. He said, so what is the only difference between us? The only difference between us are the things that you know and I don't, right? But then he said, but what's that realm of things that you know and I don't, what is that in comparison with what we both don't know? And he said, the Gra heard that. And he got a certain jolt. And for him, it was an impetus to double his efforts in all of his learning. But the truth is, he was saying something pretty profound. And that is that as great as a person becomes, there's so much more. When you're talking about Torah, you're talking about kiviyochol, Hashem's capacity. Kiviyochol. There is no capacity. So you can have, let's say one person is a million miles ahead of the other person. But the track goes on to infinity. So really, he's not that much more ahead of the other guy. Because you're a million miles ahead, but there are still trillions and trillions and trillions that you're never going to get to. So the million really shrinks. So basically, the message here is, this is a very, very profound message, that you think, oh, this is a person who can really master all the material. Let me put the efforts into him. Why should I put the efforts into this kid who's barely going to get it? He said, 1 minute, the guy's going to master all the material. That's only a lot in human terms, but he also only knows the tip of the iceberg. And yet Hashem is saying that tip of the iceberg that you can master is very precious to me. So it isn't surprising if Hashem says the same thing about the handicapped kid and says, yeah, you're such a brilliant guy, but you're only a brilliant human, right? Take the most brilliant human in the world and put him with the Malachim, and he's nothing. So yeah, you're brilliant, but it's tiny when we're talking about the true depth of wisdom. Yet I'm telling you that that effort is very precious to me. So understand that when we're talking about the handicapped kid, who's only going to get a fraction, a negligible fraction of what you have, realize that that's no less precious to me. That's no less precious to me. And not only that, but again, we might think, you know, looking at it with human eyes, and at the end of the day, we do view things in a relative way. How much effort do you want me to put into this kid who's barely getting it? But Hashem is saying, no. The whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, with everything that I did, would have been worthwhile just for that kid with his very limited and inhibited capacity to understand. So the four sons are really bringing out something to apply to ourselves. The four sons are bringing out quite Hashem's statement that this is not about just not just about the nation as a whole, but how every individual is a universe unto himself, that I want, that relationship is very precious to me. And the whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim was really done with each specific individual in mind. And that's why I'm not mevater on any individual.
Could you say from that, like, that what Hashem values is the effort, not the outcome? I mean, he just wants wherever you, whatever talents you've been given, to make the effort. I
Oh, that
mean,
is certainly so. That's
you
certainly
know,
so.
I mean, as you said, even the most brilliant person doesn't control the outcome of anything, right?
That's certainly so. That's right. It's about the efforts. But here, I want to add that it's not just about Hashem valuing efforts, but it's the personal angle. Hashem values the individual.
The efforts of every single individual.
But I actually want to skip the word effort right now. Because what I wanted, but my point that I'm trying to make is that yes, we talk in terms of efforts. That's how we live up to our relationship with Hashem. But there's a starting point. The point before that is you are a precious neshama to me just because you are a precious neshama. Now, I would love to see you making those efforts in order to really, that you can live up to our relationship. But the efforts are not what create the relationship, right? This is why, right, in Chinuch, we would say it is not a good statement for a mother to tell her child, I loved you because you're such a good boy. Right? I love you because how could I not? I love you because you are my Yankala. That's the reason I love you. Right? And that's it. Now, certainly your efforts will make me proud, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to value and cherish your efforts. But the love starts from before that. The love starts before that. And this is essentially the message that's being conveyed with the four sons. Hashem is saying, every last neshama is precious to me. I want that relationship, that dynamic. I want to be able to reach every last individual. If it's the Chacham, I want that much more of a relationship with him. I don't want to just suffice with his natural talent. If it's the Rasha, don't say, all right, forget about him. You have other ones. No, I want him. He's precious to me. Don't tell me, oh, you have better ones. What do you need him for? If it's the Tam, okay. Even though you would naturally be teaching him anyways, but I want you to understand how important that is to me. And therefore, I'm adding on a specific command toward the Tam. And if it's like we said before, the inhibited one, the one with the impediments, the handicapped one, his relationship is critical to me also. Oh, that's right. This is a good model of us relating to our children. That's right.
Name all these neshamas. If he didn't want, if he didn't care, or he didn't want a relationship, he wouldn't have brought in a child with disabilities or a child who, you know, doesn't understand or whatever it
Oh,
be. Is that
okay.
true? He's the one who created all these nishamas and brought them into the world, right?
So this is exactly the point that we're trying to bring out. That's right. Meaning, don't make the mistake of saying, well, Hashem created a great nation. You know, people get married and they have kids and all kinds of things develop, but you know, maybe there are some faults in the system. No, the point is exactly what you're making. Hashem is telling us, I want you to appreciate that no, each neshama was specifically designed by me. It's never just the unfortunate result of, right, these two people married and look what came out. Oh, well, this one didn't work out so well. No, that is never the case. I want you to appreciate that, on the contrary. This neshama was specifically designed by me exactly as is, because this is something very precious to me. The parents were put into position to be the one bringing him into the physical world. But this is something that I was actually envisioning, that very specific neshama. As I was giving each maka, when I did dam, when I did tzfadeah, I was aiming it at that specific person. Now, it gets a little overwhelming if we think of it that way, because there's so many millions of us. Especially when you're not just talking about Jews today, but you're talking about in the whole course of the generations. But yet, Hashem, whose capacity is unlimited, is saying, that's right, there are millions. But for me, that doesn't dampen at all the very specific and individual quality of the way I set it up. And that is, that's right. When I was going through the Makkos, Dam, Tzfadea, Kinim, I was focused on you specifically. Even if you weren't there physically at the time, I was envisioning your neshama and aiming all that at you. And not only that, this is really so from the beginning of creation. As Hashem created the world, he was picturing it for each specific individual.
Wow.
But this is, it's true. It's an overwhelming thought, and it's an unbelievably uplifting understanding to appreciate the place each of us individually occupies in Hashem's focus.
Well, if you think about the children you have, so that's something you could think how each child you have is special to you and is their own way. Then, okay, it's just, like us, it's just that he. It's just his capacity is more, but because we can't think of
We
billions
can't
of
think of
people,
billions. That's
but we
right.
can think of a fam our own families, right? So Hashem, for him, the billions of people are just like our own families.
That's right. And perhaps we would say even more than that. For us, you know, each person with the amount of children that they have, at the end of the day, you do have to be dividing your attention to an extent. He doesn't even have to do that. Meaning, with him, all those billions is with single-minded, exclusive, individual focus and attention on each one.
Only
Billions of only,
children.
yeah, that's right. Billions of only one, the only one in the entire world. But yes, let me use the example. This is why Hashem likens himself to a parent and likens parents to him. This is our means of connecting to this. Okay. Now we'll take it one step further. And for this, let's now focus on the Rasha. Again, with the understanding that the response to the Rasha is not as it may seem superficially, that, oh, let's just get rid of this guy. But on the contrary, it's a strong message being leveled to that child for the purpose of Hashem saying, I'm not willing to let go of him. How that message would have to work in our times might work differently. But let's look at that message in terms of what it holds for us. What is the Rasha actually told? What the Rasha is told is, first of all, what's his question? How does he ask the question? And then what's the answer that's given to him? So the way the Rasha asks the question is, Moha, what do you need all this bother for? The way the Mefarshim and the Haggadah say it is like this. Comes with the from tone of, why is it taking so long to get to the meal? Right? Why do we have to bother with all the Haggadah and everything? Let's just eat. Bring out the food. In fact, the way the Mefarshim say it is, he says, well, it's Simchas Achag. This isn't fun. Where's the food? Right? And the answer to him is that it's true, Hashem showed us very great favor. But he does expect us to live up to our end of the relationship. And yes, he wants to see dedication on our end. He wants to see effort. He wants to see dedication on our end. And this is why our answer to him is, he says, what do you need? What do we need all this bother for? Just sit down and enjoy the meal. And the answer is, Bavur ze also Hashem li b'tzeis im Mitzrayim. Now, Hashem did this for this purpose. He wants to see us showing the loyalty to him. Yes, he loves us very much, but part of what makes the relationship meaningful is we see the dedication on both ends. We knew someone, a very, my mother had a very a funny friend. And when she was a Kala, her chassan said to her, "There's only one thing I want in life, and that is for you to be happy." So she responded and said, "Well, that's the only thing I want in life too." Okay. So, you know, that's cute. But if a person were to say that very seriously, we would say it's not going to be a very great relationship here, right? The relationship is, I want to dedicate myself to you. And obviously, it's not about making it conditional, but there's the natural dynamic is that that will be so much more enhanced when I sense that you're dedicating yourself to me. It's not that I'm trying to make deals with you. It's not that I'm trying to do business, but that's just how a real relationship works. And therefore, this is the type of relationship that Hashem would like to see from us also. Hashem would like to see the nachas of our dedication to Him, of our efforts for Him. And this is our response to the Ben Rasha. Hashem did all this for me, He gave me this privileged status. This attention, this love, not just for free, but because he knew that he was going to see from me that dedication on my part. Now, we can never do for him what he does for us, but what we can do for him is to show, well, I'm going to be totally dedicated and committed. And this is something to keep in mind when we go through the rigors of the pre-Pesach preparations. The pre-Pesach preparations are pretty intense. Because at the end of the day, you have to get to Pesach with a house that's clean of chametz and ready for Yom Tov. There's a lot of work involved. I think I've said over here, so one time we were approached many years ago. Someone offered me to come be a scholar in residence. I said this in one of these Swiss programs, and didn't end up working out. I don't think the program happened at all. But at the time, we were trying to look into the Hechsher and this and that. And is it something? Is it a thought? So I spoke to an older relative in Switzerland who knew the scene, knew the people involved, etc. And he told me that, yeah, no, the Hashgacha is very good. But then he said to me, but no works in these programs. He said, yeah, Pesach ends up just being like a holiday.
Sounds great.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That was my thought.
That's easy to get over.
Okay. You know what? So I'm giving that disclaimer. But what he was trying to convey was that it's to appreciate that the effort of Erev Pesach is an end in itself. It's not just a technicality. But this is where we actually demonstrate and display that, yes, we want to justify your choice of us. We want to justify your attention. And we want to show our dedication through the efforts that we put ourselves through. And to appreciate that the sweat of the pre-Pesach, and I'd even say the stress of the pre-Pesach, the expenses of the pre-Pesach, et cetera, are all part of us showing Hashem, yes, we want to dedicate, we are appreciating the gesture that you've shown us, the attention that you're showing us, the love that you're showing us, and we want to show you how we are responding in kind through these efforts. Really, as a model and as a paradigm to the way it works the whole year. And here I'll end with a quote from Rabbi Rucham that I'm positive that I said this here. Also sent it out in emails, right? before Pesach to the whole list. The quote from Rabbi Rucham, who says, Rabbi Rucham Lulavitz, who says that, appreciate that all that sweat before Erev Pesach, all those efforts are essentially sweat and efforts into ensuring that my home is a home that is in line with Hashem's will. And therefore, he says, he has such a beautiful lesson. He says, Hayudi shel Erev Pesach kva in kol b'riyah yichol lamoid b'mchitzos. Meaning, he says, if you were to stop the process at Erev Pesach, we're looking all the great mitzvahs ahead of us of Pesach itself, the matzah and the haggadah and the mar, et cetera, he says, if we were to just stop the process there at Erev Pesach and say, okay, what does the neshama of the Jew look like just through the Erev Pesach process? He says that already puts the neshama of the Jew into its whole unique realm, into its own realm that the malachim can't get close to, because of these efforts, of all that effort that we put into making sure that we're going to be in line with Ratzon Hashem. This is something to appreciate as we're going through that effort, as we're doing that sweating, as we're stressing. Something to appreciate and be able to sense the greatness of it, be able to sense the place that it's putting us in, not just the sweat and the stress, but what they're actually accomplishing for us. It's putting us into that mutual relationship with Hashem, where He makes us the sole focus of His attention, and we are showing that we're going to dedicate everything we have plus toward Him. A good evening to you.